Hello and welcome to the second episode of the BA Podcast, a regular series providing insight and inspiration for booksellers, brought to you by the Booksellers Association of the UK and Ireland. I'm your host, Ed Peppett, and in this episode we hear from an inspiring bookseller who had to change direction rapidly when the UK went into lockdown less than 3 months after opening for business. So imagine, if you will, dreaming about running your own bookshop, planning it out, and the excitement of opening your doors for the first time just in time for the busy Christmas season. And now I want you to think about how you'd feel when, just a few weeks later, you were told to close your store and lock down. Well, that's exactly what happened to our guest, Olivia Rosenthal, who founded Malden Books in Essex and was forced to close as a result of the first UK-wide COVID lockdown. And that would have been plenty enough to sink many aspiring booksellers. But Olivia was determined to find a way forward. And as you'll discover, throughout the pandemic, she found innovative ways to change direction and adapt both where and how she sells books. Let's listen to her story.
So, Olivia, you set up Malden Books in December 2019. With hindsight, presumably, if you'd known what was coming 3 months later, you would have either delayed opening it or not opened at all, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And really, I suppose, obviously, if I'd have known that that was on the horizon, I probably might not have gone ahead and opened a shop, absolutely. But in a very strange roundabout way, I am very glad that I did open my shop. But yeah, completely.
And at what stage did you have a sense, gosh, we might be in this for the long haul?
I suppose as we got closer to March, really, I think most of us knew it was on the horizon around December time anyway. But I think at that point, it was still something that everyone was quite unsure of. And obviously, no one knew the impact that it would have globally. So I did just keep going. And it wasn't until around February time, I suppose, that everybody started to see that this was something that was going to be huge and would have a colossal impact on everyone. So it was around then that I did start to wonder what would be the future of our shop and the future of most bookshops and most businesses. But strangely, we made the decision to close our shop, I think, 3 or 4 days before the national lockdown, because it did seem so unfair to still be asking people to come out and buy things and go into shops and put themselves at risk when we knew that it was something so deadly. And that was a really tough decision and a really horrible day. And then we went into a national lockdown anyway a few days later. So
the lockdown kicks in. What were your plans? When did you start to think, right, what are we going to do now?
Really ahead of the lockdown, and with our shop, because we were so new and it was technically only me working there from the beginning, my mum started working with me the week before the first national lockdown. So we were put in quite a difficult position because she wasn't eligible for the furlough scheme because she joined so close to the first lockdown. So at no point, really, I actually don't think she could go on to furlough until the next lockdown.
So right.
It was really having that pressure of obviously wanting to keep a business going, but then the pressure of knowing that your mum's livelihood then depended on it is not the position anyone would have wanted to have been in. So I did start to think about a web shop a couple of weeks before we went into lockdown. But even then, it wasn't a facility that I'd thought about because, again, we were so new. I thought home deliveries and nationwide deliveries would be something that I'd probably get to as time went on, but we ended up coming to that a lot quicker. So that was the motion that I started to put in place. And the idea, I was telling customers that we'd be able to drop things off to them in the same way that every bookshop was. I think a lot of us were probably just finding our way through the dark, essentially, and trying to think of different ways we could keep going. Yeah, very difficult time.
And I know you came up with a particularly original idea to keep selling books. Tell us about it.
Oh, that came in the third lockdown. I did think when we went into lockdown, I suppose it was January last year. And again, it was just that uncertainty of when we would be out of lockdown and how long it would be going on for. And again, whether or not we could weather a third storm, because it was, we received so much support, and I'm sure every bookshop felt the same, that the support we all received from a community level was amazing. But to keep continuing to ask that of people was something that was very difficult, because again, it's not just businesses that have been going through this, it's families, it's customers, it's everybody. Their priority might not necessarily be to keep their local independent bookshop going, but it was amazing that was a big priority for people. So we'd just had Christmas, and I thought, I'm not sure if I can keep banging the drum of saying, please buy books from us. And it was just such a tough position to be in. But I thought, if we can't open our shop, there must be a way of still continuing on selling books, getting books to people, events. I thought that really I could either try and get a book van and drive around with a book van. But I did also think that, you know, that's something very similar to libraries. And also, I don't think I'm comfortable with driving a van. Yeah. So I thought that maybe something more stationary that was out in the open. And I thought that actually a Shepherd's Hut, a mini bookshop, perhaps in a local park with outside tables for browsing and events that could be socially distanced outside, would be something that we could give a go to. So that was what we came up with.
Genius. From conception of the idea, okay, what about a Shepherd's Hut in a park, to you're in a park with a Shepherd's Hut. How long did that take? What was the time period?
It took around, I suppose, I had the idea in January and we were set up in July last year. So it took around 7 months to actually physically have a Shepherd's Hut towed there. But we bought the Shepherd's Hut, I believe it would have been April or May. And we were very lucky to use our grant from the Booksellers Association towards that, which was really handy. But yeah, that was a really helpful thing to put towards it, which I suppose that was what it was there for. Mm-hmm. In the first place, which was to use it for COVID projects.
So I was going to ask you, was the BA COVID recovery grant helpful to you? You put that recovery money towards the Shepherd's Hut.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought really that was the best use of that kind of grant for us for that project, because we were coming out of lockdown as well and the restrictions were being eased. We still weren't comfortable with the amounts of customers we were having in the shop as well. And considering that we were so new, we hadn't had the chance to really do the events and all the lovely projects that we'd like to have done. And unfortunately, as much as I absolutely love our shop, it is a very small shop. At the time, it was not something that we could envision having lots of people in there. So it was nice to think that we could still use that and we could still use that to our advantage and for our customer safety, and to have story time sessions, book signings, book talks, but have them outside where people felt comfortable. Despite the fact that things were being lifted, we still obviously wanted to go ahead with it. And I'm really glad that we did, because it was a nice extra facility to have, absolutely.
I'd really like to talk to you about the future of the Shepherd's Hut. But before I do, I'm just really keen, out of ignorance, where do you buy a Shepherd's Hut? I can't imagine you go to the Argos website. Where do you get a Shepherd's Hut from?
We got ours on eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
There were a lot of different ideas that we had. So I saw ice cream vans. At one point, I wanted to get an ice cream van of books and to drive it around like an ice cream van with a song playing. Didn't go for that because they were really expensive. We also thought of the idea of a train carriage. When we spoke to our local council about trying to get a train carriage into the park, they said, please don't do that. And so we left that one and then went to Shepherd's Hut. So our Shepherd's Hut was from a really good company. They were from Norfolk and it was basically just the shell of the Shepherd's Hut. It wasn't decorated at all. And that one pretty much was what we wanted, because then we thought we can kit it out with however we want to do it. So they were quite surprised when we said that it was going to be a bookshop, but they loved the idea of it. And they very kindly towed it down to Essex, where it sat in our garden for a few months whilst we painted it up. But yeah, if I would definitely advise anyone looking for a Shepherd's Hut to go on eBay.
Brilliant. So how long did it take before your customers, the community, sort of bought into the idea? How did you publicise it? And how many people turned up to the first afternoon when you were in the park?
We definitely put the word out there. We got in touch with local news, definitely updated all our social media channels with News of the Heart. We contacted the bookseller as well, and they also ran a really lovely feature on it. And it was quite nice because we got it to the park, I think about 4 days before we actually opened it, because I realised that it needed a lot of work to get it installed and to get it up and running. You had to put electricity in there, and there was a lot more to it than I thought when I had my idea for it. So the actual getting it up and running was quite difficult. And also, obviously, you have to get it there before you put the books in there. Otherwise, they'd all fall down in transit.
Of course, yes, absolutely. I hadn't thought that through, actually.
Yeah, and very interestingly, I realised about a couple of days before we opened that, even though I had a lot of stock that I'd been putting aside from the shop, I thought I might be able to stock it myself just from bits and pieces lying around. We always have extra copies of books. And I thought, yeah, we've got enough there. And then I realised, actually, I thought, oh my goodness, there is not enough books for this for this mini bookshop. So we had to do a few last minute orders as well. And obviously build the bookcases when we were there too, because that had to be done there and not to build them and then bring them down to the park. Lots of people saw us getting it set up in the days prior to it opening, and that also drew up quite a lot of interest. We had a few sandwich boards and things, and it was nice because it was July. There were lots of children after school walking by, lots of parents and tourists, and so we got to chat to people before we got it open, which was really lovely.
Very good. And fingers crossed, as we're emerging now back to some sense of normality as far as the retail trade is concerned, what's the future for the Shepherd's Hut?
I'm in the process of getting it modified for going back to the park this year, which it's quite funny because even though it was really lovely to be at the park last year, it was a very bad summer in terms of weather, and everything that comes out of the hut has to go back into the hut at the end of every day. And to have to do that very quickly when there is a huge downpour was quite a difficult one for us. So we had so many tables to bring in and out. We came to a few different methods of, I think we had some big plastic clear ground sheets that we'd throw over the books when the weather was a little bit iffy, but to then get them back inside, it was a real nightmare. So we've come up with, we're hopefully trying to make some tables that kind of fold up on the sides of the huts.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Very good.
Getting decked out.
So it'll do another season.
Yes, it will. But we're also hoping to, with this year, we've got a couple of ideas in mind because we get a lot of work experience inquiries at our bookshop. And we're also wanting to provide almost an introduction to bookselling work experience program that we can offer at the Book Hut, which we think, especially for students wanting to get into bookselling, we're going to try and tailor a nice kind of couple, a 2-weeker kind of program where people can come along of any age group, really. We're very keen to put it out there, but to get people just to be in a nice scenario in the summer, be outside, talk to people, really get into that, you know, world of books, which is lovely to do, but also to do it at the bookshop itself. We're so small and we don't always really need the help, really. And we worry right. that people might come along and, you know, think that it would be this really great big fun thing. And we'd hate for them to think, oh, actually, we're just kind of, once our 3 boxes are unpacked.
Then... What a great initiative, though.
Yeah, I really want to. We're really keen to get going with it. And we also want to get involved with Kickstarter programs as well, because I think there's so many readers out there and so many people that love books, and bookselling is a wonderful job, and it's something everyone should be able to be part of. So we're working on a little program that we can hopefully offer so that everyone can give it a go.
And you hinted at this earlier, bringing the sort of community together. It sounds as if the idea of doing an introduction to the bookselling work experience, all these are sort of community events. It sounds as though the community really bought into what you were doing.
Yeah, they really did. They've always, Malden and the towns further afield and UK-wide have always been so supportive of the bookshop, and overwhelmingly so. We've always been so grateful to have that support network from our community. And Malden's a really good town for independent businesses. It's independently led. I'd probably say the ratio of independent shops to chain stores is higher here, but I think that is because it's a very good town for that. And we do really try and do as much as we can for the community, such as story time sessions, competitions here and there, events with children's authors. It's nice to have the Book Hut as an extension of that so that we can just do that little bit more that we're not always able to do in the shop. So yeah, I'm hoping that it might be something that they'd want to do as well and come and give book selling a go in the summer.
Fantastic. That's great. Now, you probably know that the Booksellers Association are launching BA Learning at the London Book Fair. Wind back the clock a couple of years to when you set out with Malden Books. What didn't you know that you would really have liked some help with back then?
So I think if I was to look back and think about that, I know that when I did open my shop, I did get in touch with the BA straight away and found them to be so useful and helpful. They've got a fantastic guide on how to open your own bookshop, which I definitely read through many times. They've always been such a fantastic support network for booksellers. I think really, considering there have been quite a few bookshops that have opened in the last couple of years as well, and having met a couple of new booksellers at the BA conference and used the Facebook group, stayed in touch through social networking, I do think that maybe it would be an idea to put those new booksellers in touch together, maybe to, I know a lot of new bookshops, and I know I certainly did, made use of the government startup loan and perhaps maybe help towards business plans, and maybe that kind of support might be a good help for new booksellers. That I know that I'm absolutely terrible with having business plans and cash flow charts and perhaps maybe that might be a good initiative for new booksellers wanting to open their own shops, I believe. But I have to say as well at the same time that it was really helpful just to speak to someone at the end of the phone, really. And, you know, it felt like the responses are so quick with the BA. There's always someone there to lend an ear, that I do think it is a really, support network for booksellers, definitely.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And I understand you were at Shakespeare & Co. from 2016 before Malden Books. How optimistic do you feel about the industry at large at the moment? What's your feeling about where we're currently at?
Well, it's funny because I was lucky to get work experience at Shakespeare & Company. And then when I came back to England, I worked at Waterstones, and then I worked at another independent bookshop before I opened mine. So it was nice to get both sides of things, really, and to be in a retailer like Waterstones and then to go into an independent environment. Because prior to that, aside from having work experience at Shakespeare & Company, I hadn't really seen the other side of things with an independent bookshop and just how different it is compared to a national retailer. And to see that really that there is so much support, there is so many in support of books and in keeping books going, it really is something that is so encouraging. And to see that book sales have gotten stronger as the years go on is really encouraging in general. And all I feel like I seem to hear now is so many people saying, oh, you just can't beat a book. And that it really seems there has been a pullback from Amazon and the Kindle, and so many people really fighting to keep them going. It's amazing. I think it's quite a positive horizon for books and for book selling. I really do. I really think people are trying to give books as much as they can to keep them there. I think really lots of people really making use of their local bookshops, their independent bookstores. I think they really see the magic of book selling and how much booksellers put into their jobs. It's really amazing, I think.
Oh, very good. So, Olivia, someone's listening to this podcast, they think, gosh, I want to do this. What advice would you give someone even remotely considering starting their own bookshop now in 2022?
Oh, I'd say definitely do it. Absolutely. But I would also say as well, I think there's so many little things that you don't think about when setting up your own business, let alone your own bookshop. I think I was very lucky because I had a lot of support from family and friends in terms of, I was quite young when I opened my shop, I was 26. And even though I'd been bookselling for a while, I wouldn't say I was a huge expert that had been in the bookselling industry for years. And I felt very unconfident opening a shop of my own. I really had this idea of thinking, no, I'm probably not good enough to do this. And I think being able to take advice from people is a really big thing to do. I think it's very easy to approach this kind of business and think, yeah, I know what I'm doing, and to have a lot of people telling you, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? But I think actually, yes, do try those ideas that people put towards you. And I think really, open yourself up to having help, because I know that I really benefited from that. And yeah, I think I would urge anyone that would like to open a bookshop to do so.
Absolutely brilliant. Future plans? Are you able to even consider going back to the original business plan you had more than 2 years ago, or are you on a completely different path now?
Yeah, I think I could definitely go. I would still go back to that. And it's funny because when you look back at those kinds of things and the ideas that you had then that you put down on a piece of paper and then sent for someone to advise and to see whether they should give you money to open a shop, it might be a bit different now. But yeah, I think things for our shop should, you know, on the horizon are quite good. It would be amazing to keep our cut going. We'd like to maybe see if we could take it to, I don't know, like a music festival here and there, maybe see if it can get to Glastonbury and maybe to eventually look at opening another bookshop somewhere. But I think that's stuff that's way further down the line. And yeah, I think just to keep our shop going in the last few years has been a real achievement, regardless of pandemic. I'm really pleased with it. So
very good. And someone listening who wants to find out more about Malden Books, where should they go?
They can look us up online on our website, which is maldenbooks.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook under the name of Malden Books. Yeah, you can always find us.
Olivia, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having me.
So 2 years on, and not only is Malden Books still trading, it has a loyal community of customers and followers. And Olivia has a raft of new ideas to take the store on the next steps of the journey. I'm sure we'll catch up with her in a future episode to find out how she's getting on. If you haven't listened to our first episode about the forthcoming launch of BA Learning, do go back and download it. And remember, if you're at the London Book Fair at Olympia at any time between the 5th and the 7th of April, do drop by the BA stand. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. And I do hope you'll join us again for our next episode very soon. Bye for now.